Okay, we're now going to have our reading today. So our reading is from John chapter 4, verse 43 to 54. So John chapter 4, verse 43 to 54. And Sarah's very kindly going to come up and read it to us. Thank you, Sarah.
If you've got a church Bible, that's on page 1067, 1067 from the church Bibles. But before I read, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the Bible. Please help us to listen to it, to remember it, to understand it, and to obey it this week. In Jesus' name, amen. So, John chapter 4, verses 43, page 1067. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honour in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay ill at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday, at 1 p.m, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee.
Well, very good morning from me as well this morning, and thank you for your prayers. Much appreciated. Words can be very powerful. The things people say to us can impact us deeply. They can inspire us or demoralize us, hurt us or bring healing. But sometimes words are just words. They might be designed to have some effect on us, but they might be lies. They might not be trustworthy. And actually, if we think that somebody is trustworthy, we're much more likely to take the words that they say to us seriously, and they're much more likely to have an effect on us. What about the words of Jesus? Are they trustworthy? And if so, what difference does that make? In today's account, we see someone who took Jesus at his word. And we're going to see in that a picture of the kind of response that the Lord Jesus wants us to have towards him. And we're also going to see something of why Jesus is worthy of that kind of trust. So to start off then, take Jesus at his word. We're told that there was a royal official who probably worked for King Herod, who lived in Capernaum, which was a fishing town near the Sea of Galilee. And we're told that his son was in a bad way, in fact, a very bad way. We learn in verse 47 that he was close to death. Where will he turn for help? To a doctor, perhaps? But we're told that in verse 45, news has spread through Galilee of a man, a Jesus of Nazareth, who has recently been performing miracles in Jerusalem at the Passover festival. And this royal official decides that this Jesus is his best hope. Now, the only problem is Jesus isn't in Capernaum. He's in Cana, which is 20 miles away. And this is not Cambridgeshire. It's not as flat as a pancake. My understanding is that this would have been a difficult journey up and over a hill. It would have been a long, arduous journey, perhaps would have taken a day or two. And all the time on that journey, He's no idea what's happening back home. This was a man in a desperate situation. And so we picture the scene. He arrives in Cana and he tracks down Jesus. And verse 47, he begged him to come and heal his son. Literally, he was begging him. He pours out his desperation before Jesus. Jesus' initial response in verse 48 is, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe, which might seem at first value something of a harsh response. That's something that we may dig into a little bit in home group discussions, but we're just going to leave that on one side just for the moment, just because of time. But one thing is clear, Jesus has something else on his mind here, not just the healing of the boy. Belief. He wants them to believe. And we see time and time again that this is Jesus' great concern as he walks through the pages of the Gospels. And for those who were here for the first in this series, you might remember that this is the great concern of John, the writer of this Gospel. John 20, verse 31 says that the Gospel was written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. What does it mean to believe? This is a profound question. One of the ways that the Gospel of John answers this is to give us lots of pictures of what it looks like to believe in Jesus. And we're going to see one of those today. So let's read on. Verse 49, the royal official continues to plead with Jesus. This time Jesus' reply is different. Go, your son will live. Wait a minute, I've come all of this way and you're just sending me home? Is that it? Surely you need to come and you need to lay hands on him. You can't do it from a distance. And how do I know that you're not just trying to get rid of me? Are you just wanting me to stop hassling you? But actually he doesn't protest like that. And in verse 50 we read simply that he takes Jesus at his word. And he begins the long journey back to Capernaum. And the response of this man here is a picture of the kind of response Jesus is wanting from each of us. Just like the man here, Jesus comes to us with good news that if you believe in him, you have passed from death to life, that you can look forward to the hope of life with him beyond the grave, and that your heavenly Father cares for you so completely that there is absolutely no reason for you to worry. And taking Jesus at his word, trusting what he says, means living in the light of it. Go, says Jesus to the royal official in verse 50. For him, taking Jesus at his word meant calling off the search for help and setting off back on the long journey to Cana. And it's the same for us. Taking Jesus at his word means acting in the light of this incredible good news and leaning all of our weight on what he says. The good news of the gospel is so incredible, so potentially life-changing, that if it's true, it's absolute dynamite, and it's going to transform the way that we live. And so the question then becomes, do you trust what Jesus says? And so we move on. Jesus is worthy of your trust. In this series, in the all-age services, we've started looking at the seven signs in the Gospel of John. And we're told in verse 54 that this miracle is the second of these signs. And a month ago, you might remember that we saw that they're signs because they point to something. And in particular, they point us to Jesus, to help us see who he is and why he is worthy of our trust. So what does this sign show us? Well, first the facts. Jesus tells the official that his son will be healed, and then the fever, we are told, left him suddenly at the very moment that Jesus said these words. We can see in the first place, Jesus kept his word. He wasn't just giving an empty promise. He wasn't just trying to get rid of the guy. Jesus keeps his word. So we see Jesus' integrity, but we also see his power. Like all of the healing miracles, Jesus shows his power over the physical world and his power to heal all of the pain and brokenness of this world. Jesus has the power to do the things he promises. But how does this miracle particularly help us to see the power of Jesus? Rob has already been helping us to explore this, hasn't he, this morning? In the first place, he does it with a word. Sometimes when Jesus heals people, he lays hands on people, but not here. Jesus says the word, and someone 20 miles away gets healed. This is ultimate power. This is not just the ability to tinker or influence. His word goes. It's one of the marks of the truly powerful national leaders, corporate executives, that they don't need to make a big fuss to get something done. They just need to say the word. And this healing is a picture of a spiritual reality as well. Jesus is wanting to bring spiritual new life. And we read in John 5:21, "The Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it." The risen Lord Jesus is now in the business of breathing new life into people, new spiritual life. And he's simply speaking it into being. Second, he does it from a distance. We've already seen this, haven't we? I think there's something very precious about this. Because isn't this just the kind of situation we sometimes feel ourselves to be in? Jesus is not walking among us, and he can sometimes feel to be a long way away. We're in Capernaum, not in Cana. But we see here that Jesus didn't need to be physically present. Jesus doesn't need to be there in person for his power to have effect. His power extends to anywhere. And as Vince was so helpfully pointing out as well earlier in his prayer, actually, the eternal word, the Son of God, is present everywhere. And he was present at the bedside of this royal official's son. There is no place that we can go where we're too far away from his power to reach us. And then thirdly, he does it without the help of the Son. Often when Jesus heals people, the person being healed has to do something, like having faith, or maybe they're told to go and wash mud off their eyes in a pool. But just very strikingly here, the official's son does nothing. As far as we know, he's not even aware that he's being healed by Jesus. Jesus doesn't need us to make things happen. And that wonderfully means that we can't mess up his purposes and stop him. Is Jesus worthy of our trust? Yes, because he keeps his word and he has the power to do the things he has promised. Dream with me for a moment about what it would look like if we simply took Jesus at his word. I invite you to take a step back from your experience of life at the moment and ask the question, what would my life be like from this morning if I took everything that Jesus says to me in the Bible and simply took him at his word and lived in the light of it? What contentment we would have in the certain knowledge of the wonderful future he promises us, a contentment that would carry us through even the darkest of circumstances. If we believed without a shadow of the doubt that our Heavenly Father is working for our good in all circumstances, how fearless we would be, no matter what threats we're faced with. And if we believed unquestioningly that sin never ultimately leads to blessing, what strength we would have in breaking free from the sins that we struggle with. The call to take Jesus at his word is a call back to examine our fundamental attitude of heart to the words of Jesus in the Bible. It's a call to let go of all the ways that we try to scheme our way through life and control our circumstances, perhaps even to demand that Jesus blesses us in the particular way that we're expecting, and to lay that down and to hear the voice of Jesus speaking into our lives and simply trust what he says and walk in the light of it. And it's a call to keep coming back to taking Jesus at his word as we journey through life. The royal official heard some life-changing words from Jesus. Your son will live. But then he had a 20-mile journey before he would get to see Jesus' promise come true. And that's kind of a little picture of what the Christian life is like. I wonder how he felt on that journey. I'm sure that no matter what his trust in Jesus was, that didn't take away his feelings of anxiety. This was a desperate situation. He had left his son at death's door, and it was completely out of control. But what if he never gets to see him again? What if Jesus was wrong? What if he had only been trying to get rid of him? And it's the same with us. We have to wrestle. Taking Jesus at his word is something that we have to wrestle with as we walk through life. And the message this morning is not, it's obvious. Just trust in God and you should be able to live in complete victory. No, this is something that we can do in the middle of our struggles, whatever those are. In fact, someone who is deeply struggling in a desperate situation like this royal official, but who still holds on to trust in Jesus, is taking him at his word. We can take Jesus at his word in the midst of physical illness, mental illness, grief, or stress. So whatever the journey looks like for us today, what the Lord Jesus asks of us is not to sort out our lives, change our circumstances, master all of our stresses and anxieties, and transform ourselves overnight. Thank goodness. What he does ask of us is to keep coming back to his words and keep wrestling to trust them and lean on them. And I encourage you to do that this morning. I guess in a way that's what Sunday mornings are for, right? To stop a while and come back to the words of Jesus for us. These life-changing promises spoken by someone who is completely trustworthy and able to follow through on his word. And to reset our commitment to believing what he says and living in the light of it. One practical suggestion, which I found helpful and maybe others might too. You might like to spend some time figuring out, reflecting on which words in the Bible at the moment seem to be particularly helpful for you, given where you are in your walk with God. It might be just a couple of promises that are precious to you at the moment. And then maybe find some way of bringing them to mind. Write them down, or memorize them, and keep coming back to them and leaning into them. And I think that's something we can help each other with as well. What a helpful conversation that would be to sit down with somebody and figure out with them where is going to be helpful for them to go in God's word at this time. I mean, just to give an example, I just want to try and make it a bit more concrete. Suppose that there is somebody who has just lost their job and they're feeling abandoned and they're worried about the future. Where might they go? Which words might they turn to? They might go to Hebrews 13, where God says, never will I forsake them, never will I leave them. They might go to 1 Peter 5, cast your burdens onto Jesus, for he cares for you. And finally, the royal official was also on a spiritual journey towards fully believing in Jesus. Did you notice that, actually, in verse 53? It says, so he and his whole household believed. He was actually on a journey towards fully giving his life to Jesus. And that might be the journey that you find yourself on this morning. And you might be asking the question, what needs to happen for me to become a Christian? And the answer that we see here in John's Gospel is simply trust in the words of Jesus. Very truly, I say to you, says Jesus, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged but has crossed over from death to life. Simply trusting in the words of Jesus might seem too simple Is that it? Could that really make such a difference? But it makes all the difference in the world, because what Jesus promises is so incredible, and because we can trust what he says. So take him at his word. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Master of the universe, the one who speaks life into being, we worship you this morning. Thank you for the precious promises that you have given us. Promises of eternal life to all who believe in you. Father God, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, help us to come to you afresh this morning and put our hand into yours and simply trust in your promises. Would you breathe life into our souls as we trust in you? Amen.